This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good afternoon, my friend, and welcome to Paxton on the campus of Paxton-Buckley-Loda High School for the second round of the 3A playoffs. Alongside Carl DeBar, Tim Mize with you here on FM 106, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com through our friends at Network One Sports. And Carl, here we are, third straight year that we have Carlinville go, actually seventh straight year we have Carlinville going for a chance at the state quarterfinals. They would be looking for their third straight season in the state quarterfinals. And as we look at this PBL team here today playing out of the Sangamon Valley Conference, we're going to see their offense on the field first as Carlinville won the toss. And as Chad Easterday always does when he wins the toss, he deferred to the second half. So we'll see the Carlinville defense on the field first, and they will have a chance to set the tone as they have so often this season.
Absolutely. The defense has been the reason for a lot of Carlinville's success. We look at a little bit of their line. I notice on the left side, you got a left tackle at 260 and a left guard at 260. So we'll see if that's in a big factor of just pure size, if it's going to matter as far as how their running game goes.
Of course, that's been one of the strengths of Carlinville, is their size on both their defensive and offensive line. So Carl mentioned their left tackle, Jake Rich, 6'2", 255-pound senior. Their left tackle, Calvin Foster, is 6'2", 260-pound senior. Their right tackle is Alex Rick. He's a 6'3", 230-pound junior. The right guard is Dalton Busboom. He's 6'1", 200 pounds and a junior. And the center is Andrew Swanson. He's 6'1", 200 pounds and a senior. On the other side, when you look at the Carlinville defensive front, they've got the speed rushers on the end. Will Walton, 6'3", 185, a senior. And then, of course, Tucker Hughes, 5'8", 160, a senior. That's the speed off the edge. And then they've got Jordan Bressler at defensive tackle. He's 5'10", 240 pounds, a senior. Logan Rosentrader is 6'7", 200 pounds, a senior. And Blaze Ballou at nose guard is 6'3", 280 pounds, a senior. And we've seen Logan Rosentrader make all sorts of plays this year. He's got 4 sacks, 13 tackles for loss, and 12 quarterback hurries. So he has been a handful.
He has been indeed. As it's the good thing about the Cavaliers is it's not, you can't point out one person and say, well, he's been the key to their defense. No, there's several keys to their defense, and I think that's what's great. It's spread out. It's spread out on the line, and it's spread out in the backfield.
Yeah, the linebackers, fantastic. Ramey Lewis and Chase Michaels. Lewis is a junior. Michaels is a sophomore. Then, of course, the outstanding secondary with the coverage skills and the ball skills, Kyle Dixon and Jake Ambule, of course. Then you have Colton DeLong, along with one of the Waltons, Nick Walton, in the backfield. So really across the board, line, linebackers, secondary, really not a weak spot, but they will be tested today with this spread rushing attack for the Paxton-Buckley Loda Panthers. Carlinville in the all-white look today. They've got the white pants, the white jerseys with the blue shoulders, blue helmets, red face masks, blue numerals on the road whites trimmed out in the red. For PBL, they've got the home blue jerseys, white numerals. They've got yellow trim on their shoulders, white pants with some blue stripes right in front on top of their quads here today. Sun-wise, no sun right now. It's an overcast, cloudy day. We do have a pretty substantial crosswind as this field runs east to west. And we mentioned a little bit in the view from the booth on the WSMI pregame show. Will the wind play a factor? Always potentially could, Carl, but Easterday throws such a tight spiral and has such accuracy that I feel like he can handle a crosswind better than most.
The only pass it's going to have a big effect on, and it does gust pretty good as you look at it right now, blowing the flags, is a very deep pass because it will fluctuate. The good thing is you throw into a Walton or a Kyle Dixon, they're going to adjust to the wind too and make the play.
That's exactly
it. Might,
right.
It might be an advantage.
The winner of this game will get the winner between Williamsville and Fairfield. If Carlinville can win today here in Paxton, they will be home next week, no matter whether it's the Mules or the Bullets. If the Cavaliers can get into the state quarterfinals, they will be back at home. We are just about set here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. As Matt Schmidt tees it up at the 40-yard line, they will be kicking to the east here to start the ball game. And the question is, Carl, will they go onside? Will they go mid-range squib, or will they kick it deep?
And that's always the question. I'm going to guess I'll do mid to deep.
Rosentrader, Lonnie Rosentrader, acting as a second kicker. Schmidt has it teed up, and he will put it right down the middle of the field. One of those mid-range squibbers, and PBL falls on it just outside their own 35 at the 36. And that's where Paxton Buckley-Lota will start first and 10 here this afternoon in the second round of the 3A playoffs. This is a really nice facility as far as the football field goes, Carlos, in about as good a shape as we've seen the field all season long.
It's fantastic, and it is still green up here and beautiful.
It's wetter up here. We saw a lot of puddles around the football facility, saw a lot of puddles in the fields on the way up today as well. Gavin Copley will start from shotgun. He's going to run option right, pitches late to Jones. Carnival has it strung out, and they throw him for a loss back inside the 35 at the 33. The speed of the Carlinville defense tracked him down. Rosentrader was there, and also Ramey Lewis in on the stop. Perfection on the first play.
That's what we talk about. The speed to the outside of the Cavaliers has always been there, and a lot of teams try it, but a lot of teams end up with that kind of production, a negative gain.
So it's going to be second and a long 13 for PBL. Copley will work from shotgun. He will motion the man. That is Hunter Anderson, left to right. Copley going to throw out to the left. Dangerous and behind his intended target. Almost intercepted over there by Dixon. And just like that, it's going to be third and 13. So an early chance for the Carlinville defense to send a message, as PBL will have to get out across their 45 to the 46 to keep the drive alive. The flags atop the grandstand blowing across the field. Just momentarily, the flags down on the field were at the back of PBL, but now they've shifted back. So it might be more of a swirling wind down on the field, Carl. The flags at field level giving a little different reading than the flags atop the stands.
It is indeed. Definitely the gusts will be in the factor.
Paxton Buckley-Lota comes to the line here. Play clock down to 20. They have four receivers. They will motion a man. That's Anderson. As Copley from shotgun, he's going to pat, throw, survey, pressure, and picked off by Carlinville. Chase Michaels off the deflection, intercepts it, runs it back inside the PBL 40, down to the 38. Rosentrader had the pressure, hit Copley on the release, and a good start for Carlinville.
And the defense does what we've seen so many times, come up big early in the game.
And a nice job off the deflection that time by Chase Michaels. That is not an easy play for a linebacker.
No.
So now can the Carlinville offense take advantage? Easterday from shotgun, three receivers to the right. Ethan Wallace is the starting tailback. Dixon, the lone receiver, to the left. Jarrett from shotgun. He will hand to Wallace. Ethan Wallace probing, looking, and not much there. PBL shuts that down after a short one-yard gain to the Panther 37-yard line. Carlinville going towards the east end zone here in the first half. Just underway opening quarter. Cavy defense already forced a turnover. And you're getting third and long against this Carlinville team, and that is not the place you want to be.
Not with their defensive backs.
Three receivers to the right, one to the left. That's Will Walton. Wallace the tailback, Easterday from shotgun. Jarrett takes the snap. Will fake to Wallace. He's going to set up the screen and deflect it away. Nice play in there by Austin Gooden. He got the pressure. He was not fooled by the pump fake and just whapped it down. It'll bring up third and nine for Carlinville. Good pressure off the edge that time from Gooden. We were talking to some of the PBL folks before the ball game, asked them about last week, and they said basically they just got a bunch of pressure on Vandalia's offense, and they didn't handle it.
They didn't handle it, and pressure is something that, well, Easterday has not seen. Two sacks against the Bulldogs, and that was pretty much it for the year.
That was it
a
for
consistent
the year.
Pressure.
One pick in the regular season, sack twice, that was it. Easterday, third and nine, pressure, throws deep. Dixon stumble, doesn't matter. He makes the catch, dives the pylon. He stepped out of bounds, he did. It'll be first and goal for Carlinville as Dixon stepped out at the five, and the Cavies into the Severs Equipment red zone. Score big with Case IH at Severs Equipment online at SeversEquipment.com. A gain of 32, and Carl, we mentioned a little bit of wetter conditions up here. Easterday slipped when he planted. Dixon slipped on his break.
He did. Both slipped on the same play, and it's still a big play for the Cavaliers.
That's just how good they are.
How many total yards do we give him?
32.
32 on the first pass completion.
And if Dixon would have had his balance.
He had a touchdown, yes. He slipped and went out of bounds, basically.
10-23 for the opening quarter. Cavaliers in business, first and goal, just inside the five. And Chad Easterday, I think, is going to take a timeout. He is. So a good start for Carthenville, an interception on defense, a long pass play to set up first and goal for Carthenville. No score, Cavies and Paxton Buckley load up when we come back to Paxton following these messages on WSMI. All right, Terry Toad, thank you so much. A overcast, windy day here at Paxton Buckley Loda High School. Didn't affect Jared Easterday in his first pass completion of the day as he has the Carthenville Cavaliers set up first and goal at the 5 after the long hookup with Kyle Dixon. They have been such a deadly duo here the last two seasons, but especially here in their senior campaign. From shotgun, Jared. Power looking set for Carthenville. They will give to Wallace. Ethan straight ahead, and PBL shuts that down. Wallace might have lost the yard. He did, back outside the 5. It'll be second and goal from the 6. So at least early, PBL doing a good job of shutting down that inside run.
Right. No running game so far in this game. And really just one great pass. But this isn't the ideal place for Carthenville. They had that long attack. So in close, it's a little tougher on their playbook.
Yeah, they haven't spent a lot of time.
They don't spend a lot of time inside the 10.
They really don't. Easterday from shotgun. He will. Hand to Wallace. Ethan probing left. Gets inside the 5. He's down to about the 3. It'll be third and goal from there. And the question is, if they don't get in on third down and don't have a big negative play, will they go for it on fourth down, Carl? Of course, they have a good kicker in Matt Schmidt, but if they are held to a field goal attempt, that would be a win for Paxton Buckley Loda.
It would indeed.
Third and goal at the 3. Easterday will come under center. Full house backfield. Power football now for Carthenville. Jarrett, a little bit of a hard count. Snap away. Gives to Dixon. Kyle straight ahead. Driving, plowing into the end zone for the Cavy touchdown. Kyle Dixon on the carry. And Carl, that's a play we didn't see until late in the year,
right,
but we saw it a lot last week.
We did. So they have kind of a Kyle Dixon power running game that they use just near the goal line, apparently, and maybe for a 2-point conversion if they really wanted to.
Because they just didn't have enough options and weapons, Carl.
They didn't.
That winds up being a 6-play, 38-yard drive after the interception by Chase Michaels and a huge touchdown on 3rd and 3. Now the Cavies, of course, shift everybody to the left, as they do. Easterday will survey the defense. If he gets the look, they go for 2. If not, they come back in for the extra point. But they're going to snap this for a 2-point try. Shotgun snap was low, and Jarrett's pass is incomplete. The low shotgun snap messed up the timing on that play. 9:05 for the first quarter. Carthenville strikes first. They lead Paxton Buckley Loda 6-0. You're listening to the second round of the 3A playoffs on WSMI. Tim Myers, Carl DeBar, back here at Paxton Buckley Loda High School. The great Terry Tote back in our WSMI studios, producing the action, providing us with our game breaks. Of course, Terry will take care of the halftime show here on your Saturday. Low squibber for Matt Schmidt. It's going to get inside the 40, and PBL will get on top of it, scooping it up, and then a negative return on the play back inside the 35 at around the 33. And that's where PBL will start, 1st and 10, with 9:04 to play in the opening quarter. And, Carl, you don't see many low shotgun snaps from the Carthenville snapper, Siler McClain, but we had one there.
Had one there, and you're right. The timing was just off, so it just busted the play totally up.
6-0 for Carthenville. It's the kind of start you draw up when you're on the road. Get a turnover on defense to start the game, and then a nice offensive drive that ends in 6 points. PBL will hand off. That is Copley with the handoff to Jones, and nothing doing. No gain on the play. It'll be 2nd and 10 from PBL's 33-yard line. Clock will run inside of 9 minutes for the opening quarter. Carthenville's brought a really nice contingent of fans. They've got their whole lot of bleachers filled up, lined up along their fence. We're on the far side of the field. See the PBL students behind the east end zone. Is Copley going to keep it himself? Gets out across the 35 to the 36 for a gain of 3. It'll be 3rd and about 7. In the west end zone, you see some PBL fans of the adult variety in the student section on the east end zone. And then huge section of bleachers here, Carl, right in front of the press box, but they are about half full, I would say.
Well, yeah. I mean, they got, well, what you call a huge school bleachers.
Oh, it is massive.
They got a lot of bleachers here.
3rd and 7. Copley from shotgun will motion to man Anderson. He's going to look left, throws over the middle, incomplete. Good defense over there by Nick Walton as he knocked it down, as Gooden had the position with his body, but Walton able to reach around and just knock it down.
And it seems to be their coverage is on spot on so far in this game.
Yeah, when you can get the pressure with just a 4-man rush up front and you got the skill they do on the backside, it really makes it tough. Dixon and Ambule back to receive the punt as the kick is away from Kean Humes. Good high kick Dixon calls for and makes the fair catch right at the 25. That was a fantastic punt from Humes.
Exactly what you want, a forced having to take the fair catch simply because the defender's just staring him in the face waiting for him to catch it.
That's about as high of a punt with good distance as we've seen. That was sensational from Kean Humes.
Now does he make a mistake down the road and kick it 5-6 yards out of coverage and Dixon gets a hold of it? Could be a big play in this game.
We know he's electric when you give him the opportunity to return a punt. He's already got one big pass on the day, a 32-yarder that set up first and goal. Then he ran it in from 3 yards out. Trip receivers to the right. Easterday from shotgun. Little pump action. He is pressured in trouble, and he is sacked back inside the 20. Just the third sack all year. That was a coverage sack, Carl, as he was looking downfield, but there was nowhere to go with the football. Brought down inside the 20 at the 18 and a loss of 7.
Yeah, a coverage sack, and he didn't see the blitzer coming quick enough, or he could have made it out to the outside and just got rid of the ball.
Second and 17. With this Cromwell explosive capability, though, being behind the chains, not a panic time at all. Three receivers to the right, two more to the left, empty backfield for Jarrett. 7:15 for the opening quarter. 6-0, Carthenville leading as Easterday from shotgun takes the snap. Going to set up the quick hitter to Nick Walton. Walton makes the catch, lowers his shoulder, and he's out of bounds at the 25-yard line, so he gets the sack yardage back, and it's going to set up third and 10. Clock will stop as Walton was rode out of bounds, 7:02 for the opening quarter. Cavaliers need their own 35-yard line to move the chains. They officially gave him the 26-yard line, so it'll be second and 9. Trip receivers to the right, two more to the left, empty backfield. Easterday from shotgun. Straight back in the pocket, has time over the middle. That is caught. First down for Dixon out to the 40-yard line. Nope, Ambule checked that on the reception there. A gain of 14.
There's our third down, man. When in need, Jake Ambule.
That's, we've talked about it throughout the year. That's what makes him so potent offensively is we know the explosive capability of Dixon, but on third down, Ambule is just as dangerous.
Good at catching in traffic, and that's what you like on a third down play.
Second and 17, no problem. It's now first and 10 at the Carthenville 40. Easterday from shotgun. Oh, Wallace slipped. Now Easterday going to pull it back, going to throw it down the sideline. It is caught by Dixon, hurdles a man, dives out across midfield, has a first down. Oh, Kyle Dixon, what a joy to watch. A gain of 12 on the play, and I think that was a busted play, Carl. I think it was supposed to be a run, but Wallace slipped as he was coming up to take the handoff, and Easterday pulled it back, and then just schoolyard ball found Dixon.
Unless it was an option of run and pass, but they seemed to click very quickly on it.
At the PBL 48, Easterday going to throw it out quickly, deflected down, dangerous over there, congested area, as Hunter Anderson was able to get a hand on it and deflect it away. And you can tell, Carl, that PBL is definitely crowding up on those quick hitters, and we know what happens when a team does that.
Time to go deep. And you don't even have to go that deep. You have a fake there, and you got someone in the middle of the field, 15 yards down the field. He might be open for the whole touchdown.
PBL crowding the line of scrimmage. Trip receivers to the right, one out to the left. Wallace the tailback. Easterday going to throw. Slipped again in his drop back. Looking deep. Has a man. Dixon caught. He's at the 5 with a dive. Is he in? Yes. Touchdown. 48 yards over the top. Thank you very much.
Just what we were mentioning, Tim. As you said, they're crowding the line in that bubble screen. And sure enough, the Cavaliers took advantage and went deep.
That is a 6-play drive. 75 yards. The 48-yard touchdown from Easterday to Dixon, and we have said that so many times this year.
Yeah, we have. Not the first, for sure. Well, they're setting straight up this time for the extra point.
Easterday will hold. Matt Schmidt on for the try. The snap from McLean is high. Jarrett gets it down. Schmidt's kick is up, and it is through the East upright. With 6:10 to play in the opening quarter, Carthenville has struck the first two times. They lead PBL 13-0. You're listening to the second round of the 3A playoffs on WSMI. Great start for the Carthenville Cavaliers. Carlos, they've ran 9 offensive plays and have 2 touchdowns.
And one was a pretty long drive. What was that last drive? It was
6 plays, 75 yards.
And, of course, had to overcome a 7-yard sack.
Schmidt, little low squibber. Oh, nice little one-handed grab by Gunner Belt as he's going to return out across the 35, looking for the edge. Can't get it. Slung to the turf right at the 40. Will Walton. A good special teams tackle there, as if Belt could have got that edge, he would have had some room.
That's the key of the speed, because Walton was probably the last one there to get him. Otherwise, he had the edge.
And on those little squib kicks, Carl, if you can get the edge, you do have the advantage on Carlinville, just the way that they all bunched to the middle of the field inside the hashes. But the great equalizer is the speed.
The speed saved them.
Copley will work from shotgun. He will fake to Jones. Going to throw over the middle and incomplete off the hands of Gunner Belt. He probably should have caught that ball, Carl, and you wonder if he heard footsteps.
That's very likely, as Kyle Dixon was trying to get in position to pick 6 that one.
We know he's very good at that.
Yes, indeed.
Of course, he had that big play against Vandalia, who PBL beat in last week in the opening round, but he had that 99-yard pick 6 at the end of the first half in that ball game that blew it open. And then if you remember, Carlinville scored in the first play of the second half. That pretty much ended that contest. Second and 10, Copley going to run option left. Pitch late to Jones, and Dixon is there and gets him down, lost a yard back at the 39. Kyle Dixon, Carl, he has been such a joy to watch over the last 3 years.
Yes, indeed, and I'm surprised they even want to try and do a pitch with Dixon covering the corner there. Another loss, not a big loss, but the thing is, that's a play you're designed to try and break for some big yards, and they're ending up with losses on them.
Yeah, 1-yard loss on that play feels like a 5-yard loss.
It does.
Third and 11 for PBL from inside their own 40. Copley, shotgun snap, looking over the middle and incomplete, thrown a little bit behind his intended target, Hunter Anderson, as he was surrounded by Carlinville defenders, but it was in his hands and dropped, and if he makes the catch, they would have been about a yard or two shy of first down yardage.
So three and outs and 1 pick. So the Cavalier defense right now has given up a negative 1 yard. Not bad for a first quarter.
That'll play on the road, won't it?
Yeah.
Well, the first punt from Humes was sensational. Forced Dixon to call a fair catch.
He did it
high
again.
High kick again. Man, that's a beautiful-looking punt. Another fair catch called for and made by Dixon, this time at the 27-yard line. Beautiful height on those punts up above the light towers, and Terry Toad has a WSMI game break. All right, thank you, Terry. And that's a tough draw if you're paying in the second round getting a program like Tri-Valley.
And 21-12, there's no 9-point play. You can do 8, no. But not 9.
Easter Day from shotgun. Sometimes it feels like Carnival has a 9-point play as much as they score. 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Wallace is the tailback. Easter Day from shotgun. He's going to look right, looking deep, and it is, it's caught by Walton. Great coverage. What a better catch by Will Walton. Keen Humes, you can't have better defense than that, Carl. That's just fantastic offensive football from Easterday to Walton down inside the PBL 45 at the 43. That is beautiful.
Yeah, Walton, that give him a lot of credit. That's a tough catch, and it was good coverage by Paxton.
Gain of 30. Easterday will hand to Wallace. A flag comes out as Wallace carries it inside the PBL 40 down to the 38. The flag came out right at the snap. Might have been an illegal shift on Carthenville. That or PBL was offsides. It will be illegal substitution on PBL. So see if Carthenville will take the penalty and keep it first down or take the play. The play gained about 4 yards.
Well, you get the down over 2, though. So you take the 5.
Oh, you're correct, yes.
Take the 5 and get a first down.
4:58 for the opening quarter, and we talked about the game last week against Wood River. Was Carthenville was due to have a subpar game. They've been so perfect in so many ways all season long, and they look like the Carthenville team we saw through the 9 weeks of the regular season here to start this game.
It was very rare, and it took exceptional defenses to keep them from having 3 scores in the first quarter, and that's pretty much what they did all season long or more.
They will take the penalty. It'll be 1st and 5 at the PBL 37-yard line. Easterday from shotgun, 3 receivers to the right. Nick Walton, the lone receiver, out tops out of the formation left side. No backs. They're going to throw a quick little screen out to Dixon, and Kyle makes the catch, makes a guy miss.
Wow.
There was
he's
no room there,
getting
Carl.
A lot of yards out of nothing, isn't he?
Oh, there was just nothing there. He's right at the sticks, and I think he has a Carthenville first down. He sure as heck does. Just outside the 30 at the 32. That is a gain of 5, but that's a play, Carl, where PBL had it covered well.
Yeah,
Dixon caught that ball behind the line of scrimmage with nowhere to go and gets a 5-yard first down.
He's been playing with a little extra power, it seems, this year, and especially at the end of this year.
They will motion Dixon left to right, and PBL jumped. Did Carthenville move first? I don't think they did. And WSMI's Terry Tote has a game break. All right, Terry, I don't think that's really a surprise to anybody.
Not really a surprise, and boy, Williams Hill, great program up there, too.
Of course, they met in the second round of the playoffs 2 years ago when Carthenville beat them en route to their state and runner-up finish. What a game that'll be next week if we can get there. Trip receivers to the left, first and 5. Easterday going to run it himself. He's going to turn it upfield, takes a nice lick at the 25. Gain of 2. Just going to set up second and short. So on back-to-back plays, Carthenville winds up with a first and 5 situation as Dixon picked up a first down in between after the initial first and 5. Then PBL jumps offsides, first and 5 again. Now it'll be second and just 3. 4 receivers set, 2 to each side of the formation. Wallace is the tailback. PBL's controlled the running game for the most part. The problem is the Carthenville elite passing attack has picked him apart. 13-0 Carthenville, clock running 3:25, first quarter. Jarrett from shotgun going to throw quickly to the left. Will Walton with the catch, looking for a move. It's not there. He's wrapped up quickly on the play by Kyle Pohl as Walton just outside the Seavers recruitment red zone at the 21 and a gain of 4. And it's going to be enough for Carthenville first down. We've talked before, Carl, throughout the year, but the running game for Carthenville in a lot of ways is this short passing game.
It is. And that was Will on that one.
That was Will Walton on that catch, yep.
Yeah, we got to keep those Waltons separate on the stats.
Both capable of big plays. 3 receivers to the right. Jarrett from shotgun. Looking right, throwing over the middle, caught by Colton DeLong down at the 11-yard line, a gain of 10, and Carthenville back in the Seavers Equipment red zone. Score big with Kubota in Auburn and Jerseyville, online at SeaversEquipment.com. And yet another weapon to try to defense.
Right, and Colton sometimes starting running back. This time I think Wallace has that job, and he comes in as a, what do you call, a flanker?
There you go. He's a slot receiver right now on the right side. 2-3 receivers on the right as they will motion Wallace out. Empty backfield.
Yeah,
winds up a
receivers.
5 receiver set. Jarrett rolling right, and it is caught by Dixon right at the sticks. Sheds the defender, dives into the end zone for the touchdown.
And what a day for Mr. Kyle Dixon already.
3 touchdowns here in the first quarter. And, Carl, you mentioned a moment ago about the strength Dixon has shown this year, and
yes,
that was on display right there.
Yeah, it used to be he just – did his speed thing and his moves. Now he actually breaks and powers through things. Well, i.e. they're using him as a goal line runner when they go into a close circumstance.
6 plays, 73 yards on the touchdown. 2 6-play touchdowns, 1 3-play touchdown. Easterday to hold, Schmidt to kick, snaps high. Jarrett gets it down. Matt's kick is perfect. And with 2:27 for the first quarter, Carthenville off and rolling early. They lead Paxton Buckley Loda 20-0. This is the second round of the 3A playoffs on WSMI. Vintage Carthenville to start here in the opening quarter of the second round playoff game. They've had the ball 3 times, scored 3 touchdowns. Schmidt onside kick. Oh, it gets away from PBL, and Carthenville recovers at the PBL 49-yard line as it bounced off one of their up men, and I do believe the recovery made by Jeffrey Stufflebean.
And there's that short onside kick, and you know, you usually got a lineman or two. You just don't have that many hands guys that you can just put out on the special teams, and that guy was not the hands guy that got hit by the football there.
And if you don't handle it cleanly, that's what happens. Bounced right off of his hands, picked up by Stufflebean. Carthenville offense right back on the field. Well, they go for broke right here. Dixon will motion left to right. 3 receivers right. Easterday from shotgun. He's going to throw over the middle. Caught by Ambule. Elevates, makes the catch inside the PBL 30 down to the 29-yard line. That's a gain of 20. Actually, called a gain of 21 at the 28.
155 yards. 9 out of 11 passing for Jarrett Easterday so far.
Picking them apart. He's had a fantastic year. 2,400 yards coming in, 35 touchdowns, just two picks. He's already thrown two more scores today. Easterday from shotgun. Going to pat, throw left, Dixon, and it is caught for a
perfection.
Touchdown. My goodness. Kyle Dixon, his fourth touchdown of the day. This a 28-yard reception. Again, the coverage was there, but the throw was perfect, and Dixon elevated for the catch.
Did not have to stop his stride. The defender, seeing the football, was trying to get to it, but it just hit Dixon perfectly in the end zone.
That's a pretty quick strike. Two plays, 49 yards,
well,
touchdown.
That's how they've been most this year, obviously.
And his left tackle, Jordan Breslow, came over and picked Dixon up and lifted him to the sky.
And our total numbers on that touchdown?
28 yards.
2-8. So
Schmidt on for the extra point try. Jarrett to hold. The snap is perfect. Easterday's hold is good. Schmidt's kick was almost blocked, but he gets it up, over, and through. 2:01 for the opening quarter. It is all Carthenville here in Paxton. The Cavvies lead Paxton Buckley Lota 27-0. You're listening to the second round of the 3A playoffs on WSMI. Tim Eyes crawled the bar back here at Paxton Buckley Lota High School. The extra possession with the onside kick recovery. Quick strike, two plays, 49 yards and 25 seconds. A 28-yard touchdown from Easterday to Dixon. Another low squibber. PBL gets on top of this one and then just straight to the ground goes Gunner Belt.
Gunner Belt has fielded all the ones, it seems like, that have not been a problem for Paxton.
So PBL will take over, let's see, just inside their own 45. They're going to mark the ball right around the 43. Four touchdowns for Dixon, one rushing, three receiving, a 48-yard, 11-yard, and 28 yards on the touchdown receptions. His rushing touchdown was a three-yarder. Copley going to throw deep. It is intercepted by Dixon. Here he goes at the 40, at the 50, 45, 40. Down the sideline, goodbye at the 30, 20, into the Severs Equipment red zone, into the end zone for the touchdown. Pick six again for Kyle Dixon. And, Carl, what was that, about a 65-yarder?
Wait a minute, though. We have a flag, and it's got to be an illegal block.
Return, yep, and he didn't need it. Just like back in the day with his brother, right, when they have a penalty.
He was past that. Yes. Past that by 10 yards. What was the illegal block for?
That happened numerous times a few years ago when Jacob Dixon would be running for the end zone, didn't need the block,
and
got it anyway.
Someone would block from behind.
Right.
Yeah.
Illegal block in the back on Carthenville. So the interception will stand. The touchdown will not, but doesn't make it any less sensational.
It does not indeed. And it would have been his third touchdown interception if that one would have standed.
In what amount of time? He's got a lot more than that this year.
Touchdown return interception.
He's got at least five of those.
Touchdown interceptions? Yeah. Oh, I didn't think he had five interception touchdowns.
Well, he has at least three. He had the one against Vandale. He had two against Greenville. Too many to count, Carl.
Too many to count. Well, of course, we know the 99-yarder is going to be the longest.
That's right. That was a game changer. And another interception, the second interception thrown by PBL here in the first quarter of play, as Dixon was just playing center field that time and picked it easily. That's one of his easier ones on the year. Four receivers as the ball will be spotted at the PBL 49, and Easterday sacked again. Is he down? The ball came out. The refs are going to blow the play dead. Jared was almost still up on that play when the ball popped out, but he is sacked back at, let's see, the Carthenville 43-yard line, and that was close, Carl.
It was close. Seemed to me like he was down.
Forward progress stop.
Yeah, more forward progress stop than anything, too.
So PBL has sacked Jared Easterday twice, just the fourth time he's been sacked all year. Two against Staunton, and now two here in the opening quarter. The difference, though, Carthenville leading 27-0 already, looking for more. Second and 19. Jared from shotgun has time over the middle, caught by DeLong, big stick as he gets back into PBL territory at the Panther 47-yard line. Gain of about 10 on the play. Gets that sack yardage back. It'll set up third down and about 10 yards. Carthenville needs to get inside the PBL 40 down to about the 38 for a first down. Clock running 38 seconds for the first quarter. Play clock running at 15 seconds. What a dominating first quarter for Carlinville. 27 points, 2 interceptions, 3 receivers to the right. Easterday from shotgun. Has time. Now he's pressured. Steps up. He's flushed to the right, looking down the field and coming back to the football and making the catch. Jake Ambuehl, first down at the 35.
That was fantastic. And again, there's my third down receiver. When you need the tough yards, he's the one to go to.
When you saw the mobility of Jarrett that time, getting out of the pocket, eluding the trouble, and then Ambuehl, the awareness to come back to the football and make that catch. It'll be a first and 10 for Carlinville, and that will be the final play of the first quarter. You can't do much better than that on the road in the second round of the playoffs. Carlinville, after 12 minutes, leads Paxton Buckley Loda 27-0. You're listening to 3A Playoff Football on WSMI. Tim Myers, Carl the Bar, back here in Paxton. Terry Tote back in our WSMI studios. 27-0. Carlinville leading the Paxton Buckley Loda Panthers as the Cavvies switch into the field. They are now attacking the west end zone. First and 10 at the PBL 35-yard line. Three receiver set. Easterday going to pitch left to Wallace. Ethan looking for a block. Has it. Turns a corner inside the 30. And he is down at around the 26-yard line on a nice sweep left. And WSMI's Terry Tote has a game break. All right, Terry Tote, thank you very much. And I thought Athens might be able to give St. T a little bit of a battle today, but a quick start for St. Teresa in Athens.
And we know how they can wear down a defense.
Of course, Jacardi, you're right. He might be the best small school player in the state. Well, Kyle Dixon, certainly in that conversation.
Yeah, that's true, too. I was going to say the third and fourth quarter is when he's going to own you because he's already wore you down on all his rushing attempts.
And what Wright and Dixon have in common, Carl, is they do it on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. See, there was a penalty on Carlinville, a 5-yard penalty. I didn't see the signal of what it was, so it moves the football back to the 32-yard line, it looks like. So the run stood, and then must have been a hole down the field, maybe. Easterday will throw short hops his intended man. Did he catch that?
No, I think he's calling a catch.
Got his hands underneath that. Looked like a short hopped him.
And Colton DeLong with a couple good catches. Third of the day, if that holds.
Going to be marked at around the 27. Boy, from our angle, it sure looked like it short hopped him, but the official was right on top of the play and said DeLong got his hands underneath.
Some fans on this side don't agree with the call either.
No, they're on the far side just like we are, and from our angle it certainly looked like it hit the ground, but the side judge right on top of it. Third and 2 at the Paxton Buckley Loda 27. Wallace the tailback. Jarrett going to throw a quick hitter out to Ambuehl. Catch made. First down. A flag comes out. It's a first down, but I don't think it's going to stand with the penalty marker down. And, Carl, that's the same official who made the last call, and that might have been of the makeup variety right there.
It could be, and we are going to have a hold. Well, they were in the Seavers equipment. So.
For a brief moment. Sometimes they don't spend a lot of time in there.
No, they don't either
through.
Way.
They just pass through.
They're just visiting, especially Kyle Dixon.
And over the years, Carl, the one thing that has hurt Carlinville at times is the penalties, and we've seen a little bit of that here on this drive.
Already the third on this drive?
So that, with the hold, it's going to take the football. Let's see. They're going to step it off from about the 31-yard line. So it should wind up just outside the 40 of Paxton Buckley Loda.
Actually, you take away the first penalty, Tim, we wouldn't have any of these. We would have had a touchdown. As Kyle Dixon returned to start this drive off, interception.
He only stepped it off to the 34-yard line. Third and 9 now. Easterday has time. Now he's flushed left. Flag comes out. That's going to be a hold. The catch is made by Ambuehl. That's a first down. It's coming back, though, as Jake fights hard down inside the 15. He's in the Seavers equipment red zone, but he's going to be coming back out. That'll be a hold on Carlinville, and this will be a big one, as that was back in the backfield at around the PBL 41-yard line. And that wasn't the worst hold, Carl, because I think Easterday was going to get sacked on that one.
No, that's one that's – you just hope you get away with, basically.
Right. And let's go to Terry Tote now at the WSMI game break. All right. Thank you very much, Terry. As they step off the penalty yardage after the hold on Carlinville, they will cross the 50, head back into Carlinville territory, as the Cavvies will have it at their own 48-yard line. So a series of penalties on the drive. They need the Paxton Buckley Loda 25 for a first down, 3rd and 26. They might actually have this play in their playbook, but they're going to pitch left to Dixon. Snowed under. Oh, no, he keeps his feet and gets it across the 50 down to the 47. Carl, he was hit by three big blue jerseys in the backfield, and they couldn't get him down.
He is, again, just running with a lot of aggression and power, more so here at the end of the year than, well, his whole career.
Carl, that's a play call right there that you make when you're up 27 points and facing 3rd and 26. Just if Dixon can make a sensational play, which he's capable of, you'll take it. If not, you'll punt it away and try to pin Paxton Buckley Loda deep. Yesterday will stand just outside his own 40. Nobody returning deep for PBL. Jarrett gets the snap and kick away. It's a nice angled kick and a hit inside the 20. Go out of bounds at around the 10-yard line. Beautifully angled punt that time from Jarrett Easterday. I think PBL thought they might be running a fake there.
Well, it's Carlinville. And right. I think you just got to play it that way anyway.
And, you know, Carl, that's just yet another thing that makes them so tough to prepare for. It's 4th and basically 23 at midfield, and you think, they might go for this.
Well, and they have the plays. You know, when you got a Jarrett Easterday throwing to a Kyle Dixon, 20-plus yards doesn't mean much.
No, it really doesn't. We see so many teams throughout the year where we say, oh, behind the chains, they're in trouble. Carlinville is just not one of those units. Great punt for Easterday. Pinned it back at the 6-yard line as they try to keep it on the ground with Hughes and nothing doing there. Check that Jones.
That'll be his 4th attempt.
He lost the yard back to the 5.
And he's at a -5 temp. And 4 attempts.
A 1,100-yard rusher coming in.
And right. And no first downs for Paxton Panthers at this point.
They're behind the chains now, 2nd and 11 at their own 5. 9-10 for the first half. Copley will hand to Jones, running right, looking for the edge. Does not get it. He is wrapped up and dropped. Might have got that yard he lost in the previous carry back down at the 6-yard line. And just once again, you cannot run on the outside against this Carlinville defense. Too much speed.
That is a given.
They just string you out. Like Jones right there, he ran a long time sideways.
Good 15-plus yards, but only gains 2, basically.
Gave him 2 yards to the 7, where it'll be 3rd and 8. 8.5 minutes for the first half, 27-0, Carlinville leading. Copley will work from shotgun, 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Copley going to throw, looking short right, tipped and incomplete. That might have been Rosentrader up there who got his big mid on it. And now Paxton Buckley Loda going to have to punt from their own end zone. So after Carlinville was in 4th and long, Easterday with a beautiful punt to pin PBL inside their own 5, and then a 3-and-out from the Carlinville defense. And we've seen good punts so far from Kean Humes. He's going to need another one here. So he will stand in the back portion of his own end zone. Ambule and Dixon wait at the PBL 49. Humes' kick. Oh, it's a short kick. Got off the side of his foot. It's going to bounce at the 30 straight up. And touchdown right there by Mason Ecker. Not a good punt that time from Humes, and the Cavaliers are going to take over 1st and 10 inside the PBL 30.
Well, Cavaliers did not score on their last drive after the interception, but they had 4 penalties to stop that drive.
That's about the only thing that can stop them. Remember that Vandalia game? The only time they didn't score a touchdown is when they failed to convert on a 3rd and long, and the pass was perfectly thrown but
perfectly
dropped.
Perfectly thrown but dropped, yep.
3 receivers to the left. Will Walton, the lone receiver, to the right. Tucker Hughes in the backfield. Haven't seen him back there for a while. He motions out. He will block. Jarrett rolling left. Tough throw, and the catch is made by Ambule. First down at around the 15. Gain of 14. And Carlinville back in the Severs Equipment Red Zone. Score big at Severs and mow like a pro with Exmark, Hustler, and Ferris. Online at SeversEquipment.com. Carl, we were told we wouldn't really see Tucker Hughes back on offense, but this is a good time to try to work him in, and that's a good sign for Tucker's hamstring.
It is indeed, and a big part of this team, be it defense and offense, but lately just defense for Tucker Hughes, and he is in the tailback position,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, and he's such a good blocker back
he
there.
He is. That might have been why they brought him in.
I think you're right. He laid a nice block to set that edge for Jarrett to allow him to roll out. They gave him the 17, so a gain of 12 officially for Ambule over there. First and 10 for the Cavaliers. Isude from shotgun. Four receiver set. He will hand to Tucker. Hughes straight ahead probing and finding a nice seam down inside the 10 to about the 9. A gain of 8. Welcome back to the offense, Tucker Hughes.
And Tucker Hughes back in the game as a running back. Been playing defensive end for the last, what, 3-4 weeks without playing offense?
Of course, he was their starting tailback last year, going in for the first part of this year until he hurt his hamstring. He was their kicker as well. But, yeah, he's been primarily defense the last handful of weeks since he returned from that hamstring injury. Now they're slowly working it back in on offense. Second and 3, it'll be a fake to Tucker. They throw it out to, I think that's Ambule, tries to make a man miss. Good coverage over there by PBL to shut Ambule down after no gain on the play. It'll be 3rd and 4. 7:20 for the first half of play. Carlinville scored 27 points in the first quarter. Two interceptions by the Cavy defense and a near pick six by Kyle Dixon. It was called back on a block in the back that he did not need. Easterday from shotgun over the middle and incomplete. Good defense there by PBL. Pass defense goes to Gunner Belt. And it'll bring up 4th and 4, and the Cavalier offense looks like they're staying on the field. Ball officially
snaps.
Spotted at the 10.
That snaps an 11 straight completion rate for Easterday.
And that was a well-thrown football, just better defense that time from Belt. Play clock at 20 and rolling. 7:04 for the first half. Carlinville will look to convert a 4th and 4 from the PBL 10. Three receivers bunched in the left slot. 5 receivers total. They get it out to Dixon. He makes the catch. He has the first down. He's into the end zone for the touchdown, his 5th of the day.
And the Stars come out in the playoffs.
4 receiving touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. This winds up being a 5-play, 29-yard drive after the short punt. Comes with 6:58 to play in the first half, 33-0. And the Cavs now will come on for the extra point try. They went for 2, their first touchdown, did not get it. They've kicked extra points every touchdown since. Matt Schmidt on for the try. Snap is back. The hold is down, almost blocked, and it is wide to the right. Good pressure off the right end that time from Mason Ecker. 33-0, Carlinville all over Paxton Buckley. Loda, 6:58 for the first half. You're listening to WSMI in the 3A playoffs on FM 106. Tim Eyes, Carl DeBar back here at Paxton Buckley, Loda High School. 6:58 for the first half, 33-0, Carlinville. Stay tuned at the half. Tito will have our halftime show, and he's got a couple of in-studio guests. Kurt Hicken with our great outdoors program in studio, and Kyle Herschelman also in studio. And I think Carlinville has just recovered another onside kick.
Wow.
They have their 2nd of the half. Again, Carl bounced off one of the PBL returners.
And something that Cavaliers have done for the last couple of years, really probably last year, they were more successful with recovering more. But here in this big playoff game, they've already recovered 2.
Well, Carl, I feel like they did it more last season. We've seen more of those mid-range swivers,
yeah,
this year than straight onsides. But the last couple weeks, they've been going to their onside kicks, and now they're starting to recover them. Cavs will take over at the Paxton Buckley Loda 46. Jarrett, little pump action. He wants to go deep. Has a man. Oh, and Ambule got tripped up. He got tangled with the defender. No penalty there. Incidental contact as Ambule got tangled with Humes, and it will be incomplete. 2nd and 10 from the Paxton Buckley Loda 46.
And that might have actually been out of his reach if they didn't both trip and fall.
Maybe.
It's hard saying. I think, well, we've seen him dive and make a play, so that was possible.
You know, the accuracy of each day with a short pass is it's basically an extended handoff, but he throws such a perfect deep ball that more times than not, his receivers are just running right underneath it.
Underneath it, yep. Gotta love that type of, just put your arms out and there it is.
3 receivers bunched to the left. Wallace is the tailback. Oh, the shotgun snap is high. And I think Paxton Buckley Loda got on top of it. It bounced right off of Easterday's hands. And PBL appears to have their first turnover of the day. If they did, they'll have it at the Carlinville 48-yard line. I think Easterday got back on top of that. How did he do that?
Wow. Amazing, because it looked like the defender was all over that.
Well, that might be one of those situations, Carl, where the defender for the Panthers dove on top of it and then the ball squirted out. That has to be what happened. The ball just not bouncing the way of Paxton Buckley-Loda. Let's go to Terry Tote with the WSMI game break. Thank you very much, T. 33-0 here in Paxton. Carlinville leading about halfway through the second quarter. 3rd and 16 for Easterday and the Cavaliers. Over the middle, and it is caught by Will Walton at the Paxton Buckley-Loda 40-yard line. He'll be about 4 yards shy of a first down, a gain of 12. And I bet Carlinville goes for this.
Well, I don't see why you wouldn't. You're across midfield, and this is about where you kick off anyway and leave it. So,
just when you give Easterday time, as he has had pretty much all season long, that is the result. He's going to find one of his multiple offensive weapons. Three receivers bunched to the right. They now motion Dixon right to left. 4th and 4. Easterday wants the snap quickly, and now Chad Easterday is going to take a timeout. 5:24 for the first half of play. It is all Carlinville here at Paxton Buckley-Loda High School. The Cavies lead 33-0 and looking for more when we come back to Paxton following these messages on WSMI. All right, Terry, thank you very much. And looks like Williamsville will be advancing into the quarterfinals. Of course, if this score holds, Carlinville will host Williamsville next week. A lot of football to play here, though.
That's two. Well, a lot of football to play, but still, that's looking like a great matchup.
4th and 4 for the Cavies, leading by 33. They motion Dixon right to left. They're going to swing it out to Kyle quickly. Catches it moving forward, and Paxton this time has it bunched up, and they keep him shy of first down yardage out of bounds after a gain of 1, and Carlinville will turn it over on downs. Give PBL credit there, as that play has burned them several times here in the first half, but they're on 4th down, they were ready for it.
Were indeed, but at the 8th catch for Kyle Dixon for 146 total yards, and of course, 4 touchdown receptions and 1 rushing.
Yeah, 5 total touchdowns for Dixon in the half. Could have been 6 if his pick 6 would have stood. So Paxton Buckley-Loda will take over at their own 40-yard line, trailing by 33. Copley will work from shotgun. He will motion a man, Hunter Anderson, left to right across the formation. He's going to throw the quick slant behind his intended target. Did Hughes get it on the deflection? No.
Looked like he did, but must have just touched the ground before he got his arms under it.
Pass was behind Mason Ecker, bounced off his shoulder pads, off of a Cavalier defender, and then it was up in the air, just kind of fluttering there. Tucker Hughes dove back for the football, but it hit the turf before he could get his hands underneath. Still a great effort from Tucker Hughes, and if he is back 100% with that hamstring, that makes Carlinville even more dangerous. Here's Copley, going to throw a little screen pass out to Jones, makes the first guy miss, not the second, as he is escorted out of bounds by Kyle Dixon at the 42-yard line. That's just a gain of 2, and that's yet another play call that looks like it has a chance for maybe 5-6 yards, and Dixon shuts it down for just 2.
How about the 9th pass, first completion for 2 yards, go along with 2 interceptions, as the passing game has really been shut down by the Cavaliers.
Copley missed the middle part of the season. He got a concussion, I think, in week 2 for Paxton Buckley-Loda. This is his first start since then. He's been coming in about halfway through the game since. Copley has pressure. He is in trouble, and he is sacked as big old Jordan Bressler was coming to get him, and Copley in self-preservation just went down. Smart move.
So a first sack by the Cavalier defense, but boy, they just have not needed any, because officially with that sack, Paxton PBL will be in the negatives again.
Wow.
For the whole game so far offensively.
Yeah, that was a loss of 9. 4th and 17. So they have negative yards offensively for
negative
the half.
9 running and only 2 offensive passing yards.
Oh boy.
And that's 1 out of 8 completions along with 2 interceptions. Hmm.
Dixon waiting back for the punt at the 30. Humes has gotten away 2 good punts, 1 shanker. Good snap. Humes' kick. This is a good one. Nice high kick. Dixon calls for the fair catch and makes it moving forward at about the 37-yard line, and that's where Carlinville will start 1st and 10. And remember, the Cavies get the football to start the second half.
Well, plenty of time, as we could all Cavalier fans would know. It don't take no 4 minutes and 17 seconds for this team to go down the field.
They can score twice in this amount.
But PBL, Panthers, have actually stopped in, what, 2 straight series
2 drives
now.
In a row, yes. A punt and turned over on downs their last time. 3 receivers to the left. Will Walton, the lone receiver, to the right. Tucker Hughes is the tailback. Jared Easterday from shotgun. They will motion Tucker out. He will line up just off left tackle. Easterday going to roll that way. Tucker blocking. Easterday throwing and high for Dixon. He elevated as high as he could. Still almost caught it.
And that's a first, really, I'd call bad pass, and it wasn't that far from being completed.
Well, it was almost a sensational catch from Kyle Dixon. They had two receivers in the area, so the spacing wasn't the best that time.
That's twice. That's happened. I'm not sure it's not planned that they're going to use one as a blocker once the receiver catches the ball.
You got Ambule and Dixon separated by 5 yards over there. That's tough. Ball at the Carlinville 38 again. They motion Tucker behind left tackle. Jared going to roll left again Tucker's way. Hughes gets the block. Easterday loads up looking for Dixon. Caught in stride. Goodbye. Touchdown. Kyle Dixon, number 6 of the half. Man, what a fun young man to watch. A 63-yard touchdown.
And that will put him over 200 yards in receptions for the game.
Another perfectly thrown football from Jared Easterday, and he got that post, and there once the ball was in there, Carl, you knew that's a touchdown.
And again, you're right on that. His accuracy deep is just amazing, and we hadn't really seen him throw deep all that much until the last few weeks on a consistent basis. He's done it a lot tonight or today.
Two plays, 63 yards, fifth touchdown pass of the half for Jared Easterday, sixth touchdown of the half for Kyle Dixon. Schmidt now on for the point. This to make it 40, and someone jumped. Offsides on PBL. And normally, Carlinville would go for two in this spot, Carl, but the extra point can make it 40.
Eh, that's true. So I'm going to guess they'll probably just stick with a kick.
You know, we saw some of contingent of Vandalia folks come to this ball game sporting their Vandal gear and came and sat on the Paxton Buckley Lota side, and they're probably thinking, wait a minute. Little different looking result here today. As Schmidt on for the extra point try. Easterday to hold. Schmidt for the try. Snap is back to hold this down. Schmidt's kick is up and it is good. 4:02 for the first half, and Carlinville has put 40 on Paxton Buckley Lota while pitching the shutout. 4:02 for the first half, back with the Cavvy kickoff following these messages. Vintage Carlinville here this afternoon in Paxton, 40-0. Now Lonnie Rosentrader with the kick, little onside squibber fielded by Paxton Buckley Lota at their own 48-yard line, and that's where the Panthers will take over. First and 10. Carl, we have touchdown drives. 6 plays, 38 yards. 6 plays, 75 yards. 6 plays, 73 yards. 2 plays, 49 yards. 5 plays, 29 yards. 2 plays, 63 yards. And they've all ended the same with Kyle Dixon handing the ball to the referee.
And one return touchdown by Kyle Dixon on an interception that didn't count.
Mm.
Otherwise, he would have been in the end zone again.
So a fantastic response after a subpar performance by Carlinville's standards last week. And you have to put that caveat in there. That pass incomplete, good coverage in the play. A flag comes out, too good a coverage. Colin Gibble going to get called for the pass interference. And when you've had a season like Carlinville's had and you're on a run that they are, they're 32-4 over the last 3 years, you judge them differently than other teams. You win a playoff game 47-8 and you say, well, you know, it really wasn't their best effort.
This has been a good effort, though, hasn't it?
It has been.
Last week was not, and I imagine the players knew that, too.
Oh, that's right. And that's what you expect from a team of Carlinville's caliber and talent after a game where them themselves would tell you, it wasn't our best effort. The first half has been here today.
It has indeed, and that'll be the first down for PBL Panthers.
And it comes on a pass interference penalty. It'll move the football down to the 38-yard line. We'll get a game break here after this Paxton Buckley Lota snap. 3:57 for the first half. PBL at the Carlinville 38. They will fake to Jones. Copley going to be brought down in the backfield by Tucker Hughes. A loss back to the 42. Here's Terry Tote with the WSMI game break. Hey, there you go, Terry. Good stuff. Has 6 touchdowns, tying a record. And he might just break that before this day's over. It's only the first half.
True. He might get another opportunity even in this half.
So if it wasn't for just the pick 6 being called back, he'd already have it.
Maybe he gets another shot at that.
Copley flushed in trouble back around midfield. He will throw, and the catch is made by Ecker. That's a first down at the Carthenville, inside the Carthenville 25. At the 24, that was a nice throw and catch from Copley to Mason Ecker. Their best offensive play of the day by far. The coverage was there, but the throw was better from Copley as Ecker came back to that football. 3:15 for the first half.
How many yards on the play on that?
18.
18, that'll be. And like you say, that's more yards than they had the entire half.
Copley going to look right, throws the slant on a dive, incomplete, as Belt had it, lost it. Coverage there by Colin Gibble. This field has held up beautifully, Carl. It just looks
a little
immaculate.
Slick, we've noticed. That's about it.
Yeah, but it's not getting chewed up.
That slowed up the Kyle Dixon first touchdown. As he slipped and had a big gain, but had to fall out of bounds.
That's his one rushing touchdown of the half, the other five of the receiving variety. Copley going to keep himself run right, then he will go down for a loss of a yard back outside the 25 or the 26. Tucker Hughes was there to close off that hole. Inside of 3 minutes for the first half of play. 40-0. The scoreboard flashed off for a moment. Now it comes back on. Scoreboard in the west end zone here at Paxton Buckley Loda High School. Carthenville faithful being rewarded here today. They've got a couple signs out. One says, "Guess who's back?" with a question mark. The other says, "We heart our Cavaliers." Four receivers bunched over left side. Actually, a three-receiver bunch. As they will motion a man now, Hunter Anderson. Copley going to throw, looking in zone. Nope, shy of the end zone, but incomplete. Nick Walton had the coverage over there on Austin Gooden. It'll bring up 4th and 11.
Well, the coverage has been there on virtually every single play.
And they don't – that's what makes them so tough. They don't have to blitz to get pressure. And even if they were blitzing, the skill they have in the secondary can still lock you up man-to-man. And the coaching staff is not shy about putting their corners and safeties on an island.
That's right. One-on-one coverage.
4th and 11 now for Paxton Buckley Loda at the Carthenville 26. Copley looking short to Jones, incomplete, and he's blown up on the play by Chase Michael. So even if he catches it, he was going to be stopped. And a turnover on down. So after the big pass play gives PBL 1st and 10 at the Carthenville 24, they go backwards, and Carthenville takes back over possession with 2:18 to play in the first half. Terry Tobe will have our halftime show coming up here at the break. Sounds like Kyle Horschelman of the Journal News is in studio along with Kurt Hicken. Of course, you can find Kurt's outdoors program in a podcast at WSMIRadio.com. Kurt does a fantastic job with that. Hunting season, Carl.
Hunting season. Well, we've seen steer, as you say, on the way up.
Carville's been hunting for a lot of points here in the first half as they hand off to Wallace. He probes his way out across the 30, shy of the 35, down at the 34. Gain of about 8. Can the Cavvies, and this is a good opportunity, Carl, even though the score what it is, chance to work on your 2-minute offense.
Can do that. You can work on your running game, which truthfully hasn't picked up many yards in this game.
Maybe Carnival doesn't really need to work on the 2-minute offense because it's always a 2-minute offense as quickly as they can score.
Though we've seen it in action, and it's outstanding.
40-0 Cavvies, 100 seconds for the first half. Yesterday working the play clock down to 10. Three receivers to the left, one to the right. Jarrett letting the play clock down to 5. Snap away, hands to Ethan Wallace. Tries to go outside, not there. And he is brought down after a gain of 1 at the 35. It'll set up 3rd in about a yard. Minute 25 for the first half. A breezy day here in Paxton, but it has not slowed down Jared Easterday and his offense one bit. He's thrown 5 touchdowns, all to Kyle Dixon, a 48-yarder, 11-yarder, 28-yarder, 10-yarder, and a fabulous 63-yarder. And you heard Terry Toe tell us Kyle Dixon has tied the 3A record for touchdowns in a game with 6. And it's only the first half. Easterday under center now. They will hand to Dixon. Kyle Dixon has the first down at the PBL 40, a gain of 5.
Well, that's the play they've been working on. Close yardage when you need just a yard.
We have a PBL player down, slow to get to his feet. That is Alex Rick. They're starting nose tackle, and he is down flat on his back holding his right knee. 53.5 seconds for the first half. It is all Carlinville here in the second round of the 3A playoffs. The Cavs lead Paxton Buckley Lota 40-0. We'll come back to Paxton following these messages on WSMI. So Alex Rick helped off the field. That didn't look good. Coaches had to help him off, and he slams his right fist on the trainer's table in frustration. That is not a good sign for the junior lineman.
Cavaliers still in kind of a short yardage offense.
Clock running, 40 seconds for the first half. Yesterday will come under center, Dixon in the backfield. PBL crowding the line of scrimmage. Dixon will give it to the first man through DeLong, and not much there. He plows ahead for a gain of one to the 39 as Carlinville is content to get to the locker room with their 40-point lead. They scored 27 in the first quarter. A dominating first half here for the Carlinville Cavaliers. And with that, they will head to the locker room after putting 40 points on the board. It'll be a running clock in the second half of this second round 3A playoff game. An awesome first half performance for the Carlinville Cavaliers. After two quarters, it is Carlinville 40, Paxton Buckley Lota nothing. Terry Toad has your halftime show following these messages on WSMI. Tito, thank you so much. We are set for the second half kickoff, which Carlinville will receive, leading 40-0. And Carlos, 9 possessions in the first half, 6 touchdowns for Carlinville. And Easterday had a sensational half.
Jared Easterday, 17 completions out of 21 attempts, 5 touchdown passes, over 300 at 305 yards passing. Unbelievable first half. Then you look at Kyle Dixon, who catches 9 receptions. He's over 209 total yards. And, of course, he caught all those touchdown passes and rushed one in himself.
Tied the 3A record for touchdowns in a game in the first half, and he's back to receive the kickoff. Remember, he had an interception return for a touchdown called back on a block in the back that he didn't need. So with that, he would have set the record. Humes' kick is away. It is short. Dixon going to sprint up and field it at the 15. He's at the 20 looking for a block, hurdles a man, and dives out to the PBL 30-yard line. And we'll see if we see the Carlinville ones for the first series. And the answer is no, we will not. So Michael Byatts will come in at quarterback for the Carlinville Cavaliers, and they will replace everybody on the line and in the backfield and at the receiver position. So once again, Carl, the second unit for the Carlinville team gets a full half to play at the varsity level and then in a second round playoff game, no less.
Well, it's good for their experience because we know there's a lot of seniors going to be gone after this year.
Yeah, Carlinville losing basically their entire offense and defense. That's why they're going for broke this year, and they have a legit chance to go all the way to Champaign. They'll have a tough date next week with the Williamsville Bullets. Carlinville will host that game. We'll have live coverage, of course, right here on WSMI FM 106. False start on Carlinville. That'll cost them 5 yards. And I will just mention this, Carl, because it has happened. Last year, Edwardsville had a running clock and lost.
Yes. Still hard to believe, obviously.
I know. It really is. But it did happen. So it has happened. It would be, obviously, one of the most shocking turn of events if something like that were to transpire here today. But just putting it out there because it has happened. Byatts will motion a man, and he's going to have to wait as we have another whistle and flag. He had Jack Kessinger in motion. False start on Carlinville. Going to cost him 5 more yards. So 10 yards of false start penalties here has moved the football back to the 20. But the clock is running, 10:20 for the third quarter.
Why not just take 32 penalties in a row and run the clock out? Carlinville is going to run 2 minutes off the clock and hasn't moved the ball yet.
Yeah, they've gone backwards 10 yards with 2 penalties, and you're exactly right. 2 minutes gone by in the third quarter. Byatts from shotgun. He will hand it off straight ahead, and not much there. Back to the line of scrimmage, and no gain on the play. Carry went to Hunter Robinson that time. Try to get to these offensive linemen for Carlinville as we move along. Kristen Griffith on the line. He's a junior, 185 pounds. Chase Lawless, a senior at 220 pounds, is out there now. Also, Clay Crow, 165-pound junior, is on the right side of that offensive line. We also have Levi Perkins, 170-pound sophomore. And I'm missing the left guard at the moment. Hopefully we can get that young man's name to you here as this drive moves along. Byatts from shotgun. Shotgun snap away. And PBL blows it up in the backfield as Paxton Buckley-Little still has their ones on the field, and they throw that for a loss back at the 18. And that's where the real benefit for the second unit for Carlinville comes in, Carl. They get to play against the other teams.
Well, that's true, at least through that third quarter a lot of times. So they have faced the first team, of course, just in practice. When you break them up a little bit, you're still facing that Carlinville team yourself. So
Clay Crow comes off the field, and Tyler Reels, 185-pound junior, comes onto the field. He'll line up at right tackle for the Cavaliers. Third and 22 for Byatt. He will motion a man. That's Kessinger. Byatt's going to hand off in almost a bobbled handoff, and PBL throws Thompson down for a loss on the play, but Thompson able to hang on to the ball, lost four back at the 14, but at least he didn't turn it over.
No.
And let's go to Terry Toad right now with the WSMI game break. Ooh, interesting. South Central versus Sangamo there. The 11th meeting between the two conferences since 2013.
That's a fun matchup, isn't it?
See if the Greenville Comets can get it done. That's a 12-13 matchup as well. Easterday will punt, almost blocked, gets it away. It bounces at the 45, picked up at midfield by Ecker, and he will turn the corner, get down the sideline, and Dixon gets him out of bounds. So Carlinville still has their number one unit on special teams, as they do not want to allow a special teams touchdown
in
this situation.
Yeah, and they might not really have the full complement of special teams on the younger class. So
right.
Sometimes you can't, on the kickoffs and things like that, you kind of have to keep your regulars in.
So Dixon's going to get that seventh touchdown. He's going to stay in on defense. They're going to keep their number one defensive unit on the field. So Kyle's going to need a pick six to break that 3A touchdown record.
That's putting a little extra pressure on him, isn't it?
But if anybody can do it.
Well, yeah. He actually probably already did it. But
PBL will start at the Carlinville 35. It'll be Hunt Gunner Belt with the carry, and he gets shy of the 30 at the 32 for a gain of three. 7 minutes for the third quarter. Carlinville will host Williamsville. Of course, Carl, we were there 2 years ago. It was a second-round matchup. The Cavs won 35-28. I believe it was a late touchdown from Adam Walton to Brady Jamison, if my memory serves me correct. Talk about two premier football programs in the central part of the state, Carlinville and Williamsville. It'll be a lot of fun next week. Live, of course, right here on FM 106. Gunner Belt at quarterback and miscommunication there. He threw it to T.J. Jones, but Jones was blocking.
He was blocking the linebacker for the Cavaliers, was just looking to hit him. Otherwise, he had a pick six himself.
That was Chase Michaels. Of course, he got that interception on the first series of the ball game that really got that ball rolling downhill for Carlinville. And it was a big ball of momentum that PBL could not stop. Halfway through the third quarter, running clock, 40-0, Carlinville. Third and seven for the Paxton Buckley-Lota Panthers. And the crowd has thinned out on the PBL side. Gunner Belt going to keep it himself, slipped, looking for the edge, gets by Hughes, will not get by Dixon as Kyle gets him down shy of first down yardage at around the 27-yard line. And it's going to sit up fourth and short for Paxton Buckley-Lota. 5:40 for the third quarter. Scoreboard flashed off again. Now it's back on. The sun is trying to peek through the clouds as we see more blue sky than when we started.
That's true. It looked a little threatening, actually. Some dark clouds.
The wind is still up about where it was at the start of the ball game, probably around 10 miles an hour from the south. Crosswind here at Paxton Buckley-Lota High School. Fourth and three as Gunner Belt working from shotgun. Play clock down to five. He will fake to Jones. Hit in the backfield by Rosentrader. Gets away from one, but not the five white shirts that follow. And Carlinville turns PBL over on downs. They get Belt down at the 30, a loss of three. Let's go to Terry Tote with the WSMI game break. Oh, there you go. How about that? Good for Washington, upsetting SHG. And if you remember, 5 years ago, they played 1 week after that tornado devastated Washington.
Ooh,
that
game
was at SHG. This time, Griffin went to Washington, and Washington got the W. Handoff is going nowhere as PBL stacks it up. Let's see, the carry that time went to Lonnie Rosentrader. Nope, check that. Bobby Seal on the carry. As he was hit immediately in the backfield and lost about 2 yards. So a down year by SHG Sanders, Carl. I think they lost three games and only got to the second round.
That's a down year for them. And a lot of schools would love to have those kind of problems.
No doubt about it. Nothing down about the year Carlinville has had. Their first unbeaten year since 2001. They're going to move to 11-0 and host a quarterfinal game against the Williamsville Bullets next week. You better get there early next week. Thousands of people at that ball game. Of course, you don't want to fight the crowd. Just tune in right here to FM 106. We'll have all the coverage live. Byatt's tried to roll out left. Nothing doing. Down at the 25. It'll most likely either be a 1 or 2 o'clock start. Wouldn't be surprised if it was 1 o'clock.
Yeah, they're pretty close. We're looking at, not much more than an hour drive, right? Williamsville to Carlinville.
Probably no more than that, certainly. 3 minutes, 15 seconds for the third quarter. Running clock the entire second half. Carlinville scored 27 in the first quarter. Two more touchdowns in the second quarter, all courtesy of Kyle Dixon. The first on the ground, the last five through the air, as Easterday threw for over 300. Dixon received for over 200 in the first half. They will motion a man across the formation. That is Joe Lewis. They will give the seal running right, and he's got nowhere to go. He is pushed out of bounds inside of the 20. That'll bring up fourth down. And again, Carlinville will punt. 2.5 minutes for the third quarter. And that is the point of the running clock, obviously, Carl, but it's amazing how fast quarter goes when the clock does not stop.
Well, I can say the penalties. Carlinville had not ran an official play, and they had used 2 minutes of the third quarter already.
So Easterday back to punt, and if you're Carlinville here, you got to protect the punt to make sure Easterday doesn't have it blocked and get his leg tangled up somehow. 2:05 for the third quarter. Nobody from Carlinville has gone anywhere. They're enjoying this ball game. Jared will stand at his own 10-yard line. Snaps away. Nice low kick and a bounce at the 45. Oh, gets past the return man. And it's going to take a nice Carlinville roll as Ecker might have bounced to the side. He wasn't anticipating it. And it'll be touched down by Ambule inside of the 40 at the 39. And that's where PBL will take over first and 10.
Speaking of Jake Ambule, he had a pretty good offensive day. I know we're talking a lot about Kyle Dixon, but he scored all those touchdowns, let's face it. But 5 catches, 59 yards. So there was a big play, second coming player. When you throw in Will Walton, has 3 catches, 46 yards, and DeLong has 3 catches for 30 yards.
And the catches Ambule makes are so important. They're drive extenders.
Yeah, remember the one was a huge third down play.
Gunner Belt at quarterback. Wanted to hand it off. No one was there. Throws over the middle and almost intercepted by Colin Gibble. As Belt got crunched by two Carlinville defenders, Tucker Hughes and Jordan Bressler. The speed of Hughes, the power of Bressler. This great senior class for the Carlinville Cavaliers. Of course, a lot of these kids were on the roster as sophomores, but Dixon was really the only one who played substantial minutes. He was a starter on defense, and of course, most of these kids were contributors last year to the team that lost to Pleasant Plains in overtime of the state quarterfinals. Remember, Tucker Hughes got taken off the field in an ambulance late in that game, and that really kind of turned the tide for Carlinville. Belt going deep, and it is knocked away nicely by Jake Ambule. Boy, that was a great job of Ambule. Had perfect position.
Yeah, and you wonder, well, I mean, he's a receiver too. You wonder why he knocks it down instead of just going for the ball. But that – defensively, that's what you're kind of trained to do, is knock it away from the receiver.
And this team is so well coached and just so fundamentally sound. The blocking, the tackling, just the smart football play time after time. And that will be the final play of the third quarter. Running clock the entire second half and after three quarters, as the Carlinville Cavaliers head to the sideline with four fingers raised to the sky, they lead Paxton Buckley Lota 40-0. You're listening to the second round of the 3A playoffs on WSMI. Tim Eyes crawled the bar back here at Paxton Buckley Lota High School. Terry Till back in our WSMI studios. And Carl, today Carlinville spent more time running through the Severs Equipment red zone, as you can score big with JCB at Severs Equipment online at SeversEquipment.com. And most of the time, Kyle Dixon just passing through.
Kyle Dixon 3 times in this game, way beyond the Severs Equipment red zone.
Just a sensational first half performance. Gunner Belt rolling, throwing, and incomplete as his receiver ran out of real estate on the near sideline. That was Kean Humes. He came down awkwardly, but he bounces to his feet. Yeah, Carlinville has touchdowns, drives today, 6 plays, 38 yards, 6 plays, 75 yards, 6 plays, 73 yards, 2 plays, 49 yards, 5 plays, 29 yards, 2 plays, 63 yards. Dixon, touchdown receptions of 63, 10, 28, 11, 48, and that 3-yard run, which was the first score of the day.
And, of course, the one pick called back on a penalty.
And that would have been a 7-touchdown, which would have been a state record.
State record.
PBL will punt on 4th and long. High kick. Dixon will field at the 25 and called for the fair catch. Tell you what, Kean Humes has done a fantastic job of punting
good
the football
punter
today. That's probably the third fair catch Dixon's made.
And that one might have been the first that had a somewhat potential to return, but I'm having to guess they're not letting him return now.
It's most likely
fair catch, yeah. And that'll do.
Yeah, you can't run the risk of any injury right now. Let's go to Terry Tote with the WSMI game break. All right, two good ball games there, but two Central 8 schools bow out in the second round. Of course, Rochester will play later on tonight. I think that's a 5:30 kickoff. Won 7 of the last 8 4A titles. When you say it out loud, it just sounds silly.
And they've been that good, haven't they?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
A lot of the roads to that title game were blowouts.
Absolutely. Byatt's over the middle, caught on the slant. Catch made by Joe Lewis, and he has a first down out to the 40-yard line, a gain of 15. Nice throw and catch from Byatt's to Lewis. Byatt's the 6'2 junior. Lewis, the 5'7, 140-pound sophomore.
So the second team offense gets that first down for the Cavaliers for this half.
They'd gone 3 and out their first 2 possessions.
Remember, PBL Panthers only had 2 first downs in the entire first half. Mm. One of them, a pass interference penalty.
That was the first one of the half, wasn't it?
That was first. And then the 20-yard pass reception, or the 18-yard pass reception, was the other first down.
Yeah, once again, the Carlinville defense just kind of gets put on the back burner, you know?
And we mentioned game after game, that defense is really something.
By its pass, batted down at the line of scrimmage. And, yeah, and that's why the Carlinville defense has gotten overshadowed all year, even though they have only given up an average of 8 points per game. It's because Kyle Dixon, Jared Easterday, and the offense just mesmerize you with their amazing ability to score in such spectacular fashion. But week 8, they shut out Staunton. Week 9, they shut out Greenville. Gave up just 8 points. 2 of those were a safety last week, so that was really only
right.
6 points allowed by the defense. That was a long run to start the third quarter. So 8 points in the last almost 4 games.
Unbelievable.
And
yeah.
3 of those games against playoff teams. We will have a game break here after this 2nd and 10 snap from Michael Byatt. 8:40 and counting for the ball game. He motions Lewis, and the play is whistled dead. Let's go to Terry Tote with the WSMI game break. All right, thank you very much, Terry, and bad information. Hate it when that happens.
Yeah, absolutely, especially if it was a team you love and give you the false information.
Yeah, that's right. So Glenwood still in play, tied with Crete Moni. Inside of 8 minutes for the ball game here, 40-0 Carlinville did all the damage in the first half, 27 points in the first quarter. Byatt's from shotgun, and he is going to be sacked, slung to the turf, back at the 25. And, Carl, the Cavaliers did not start fast last week. We talked about it. Whatever
right.
Onside kick to start the game kind of got Carlinville on their heels, and it really took them the better part of 2 quarters to get recovered from that. But the start tonight, this is what we have seen so often from Carlinville this year. They win the toss, they defer, go on defense first, and the rest is history.
So we figured it out. It's win the toss. That is the key to it all. How is that, Tim?
I don't know. And we know Chad Easterday, he loves to put his defense on the field first, primarily because he
That's
wants
right.
his offense to have the ball to start the second half. 7-10 for the ball game.
And we'll say that is one heck of a defense he gets to put out there. They really shut down this team today in this first half.
Byatt's rolling left. He will plant, throw over the middle, incomplete, almost intercepted. Good defensive effort there as Tristan Harrisberger came over the top that time with the Cavalier receiver, Adrian Noggle, and almost came up with the pick. And let's go to Terry Tote with the WSMI game break.
Wow.
All right, Terry, that score really surprises me. I said this morning on Sports Saturday, I thought Athens was the upset special of the day.
Yeah,
wrong.
It's not, no. And we know who's probably doing it.
Jacardia, right.
Right. He is right every time he gets that ball.
You talk about the Greenville Comets, a pick six, had 6
and
interceptions
had right.
last week.
Oh,
the snap is over the head of the punter, Rosentrader, and he is back inside his 5, and he's going to be slung to the turf And this is going to give PBL a chance to get on the scoreboard with 6 minutes to go in the ballgame. They're going to take over first and goal at the three. The snap was high over the head of Rosentrader. And if the Carlinville defense keeps them out here, and I think they put their second unit onto the field,
well,
that would really be something.
It would be, but, you know, I never understood the need for a shutout.
Doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't seem to matter, especially when you know you brought in your backups. And that's a great thing for the other team to get that score. I don't see a big deal out of it.
Yeah, Carlinville's got their second defensive unit on the field right now. First and goal at the three following the snap gone awry. Gunner Belt will work from shotgun. And they will fake the handoff. Belt keeps it himself, runs left into the end zone for the touchdown. Comes at the 5:20 mark of the ball game, puts PBL on the scoreboard. Belt from 3 yards out. First points of the day for Paxton Buckley Loda. As the clock will continue, actually it'll stop on the score. And we could say that PBL was in the Severs Equipment red zone, as you can score big with Case IH at Severs Equipment online at SeversEquipment.com.
First time they were in it, and we almost forgot about it. It was like, well, of course they didn't drive to the Severs Equipment red zone. They just started there.
Carlinville passes through. PBL starts there.
Yeah, boy. Impressive Carlinville game today, though, wasn't it, Tim? I mean, just how they dominated that first quarter and been beyond.
The kick for Humes is boomed through, almost kicked it onto the track here in the west end zone. 5:18 for the ball game, 40-7. Carlinville leading. Back with the Paxton Buckley Loda kickoff following these messages on WSMI. Tim Eyes crawled the bar back here in Paxton. Terry Toad back in our studios. Of course, Terry took care of the pregame show, the game breaks, the halftime show, and he'll have some postgame numbers for you, as well as a full day of second-round playoff football around the state. There was just three games played last night. Bobby Seal makes an over-the-shoulder catch inside the 5. Now he's coming out at the 10, bounces outside, and he is down shy of the 15-yard line. Flag came out. That'll probably be a hold or block in the back on Carlinville. Clock will run, though, inside of 5 minutes for the ball game. So Carlinville and Williamsville next week. Carl, Cavies will host the ball game. Of course, we'll have live coverage right here on WSMI FM 106, online at WSMIRadio.com through our friends at Network One Sports. And that has all the makings of the instant classic, as they say.
It does indeed. And just a great matchup, and one we want to see.
And we're going to see it. We'll be there, of course. Have the call for you here on FM 106, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, as Paxton Buckley Loda provided no resistance today to the Carlinville Cavaliers. They had no answer for Easter Day to Dixon. But in fairness to them, no one has.
No one has so far, that's for sure.
They haven't seen it. The team that can get consistent pressure on Jarrett will have a chance. If you don't do that, I don't think you have a chance. Byatts will pitch wide to Seal, running right, turns the corner, and he is out close to a Cavalier first down. And, you know, we saw Woodiver last week get some pressure. We saw PBL today get some pressure. But
sacks, yeah.
It's not consistent.
Not play after play, is it? And, you know, Cavaliers adjust. First they get a little pressure, and then they do a little rollout and throw a 15, 20-yard pass down the field. And it's just hard to stop an offense like this because they have the good line to stop that original rushers and usually pick up that first blitzer. So you blitz six. If you're rushing six, who's covering Kyle Dixon for?
That's exactly
right. You're just opening it up for those beat deep, quick passes.
And Easterday's so smart, so heady, that he can look at the defense and he can get out of a play and into a better play. Byatts is going to be sacked back inside of the 10-yard line around the 5 and Carl. I think that's really another layer that makes Carlinville so hard to defend, is if you show your hand to Jarrett Easterday pre-snap, mm-hmm. he's going to change the play and he's going to burn you.
Right. And you go back to the Vandalia game, their best rushing game. Well, Vandalia was in a pure passing defense, and Carlinville just ran all over them.
I remember asking Chad Easterday the following Saturday when we talked to him on the sports show about that, and he's like, that wasn't the plan. That's what Vandalia was showing, so that's what Jarrett took.
And you got to understand, that's the way you got to be. You can't run up the gut when there's 12 people. I'm exaggerating, obviously.
Right.
stopping that.
And, you know, I don't like to compare high school teams to college teams or pro teams because it's just silly. But they remind me, this Cronville offense, of the Patriots in this sense. What is so many teams, they do what they do, and if you take that away, you've got them. New England, week after week, they tailor their game plan to your weaknesses, to what you do. And I feel like Cronville does that in game. They say, okay, you want to take away our passing game? We're running at you like they did with Vandalia. You want to take away our running game or our short passing game, we'll burn you deep. You want to play a safety back, take away the deep pass, we're going to just pick you apart with the short passes.
And you'd say they went for the pressure. They went for stopping the short passes, which opened up the deep passes quite a bit.
They are just a handful flat out. 100 seconds left. Running clock the entire second half here. 40-7 now the score. It was 40-0 at halftime. It was 27-0 after one quarter. And, you know, we saw Cronville blitz Pena in the first quarter like they did PBL today. We saw them in a lot of ways do the same thing to Vandalia. The Vandals were in it till late in the first half. But that was the game Cronville never felt in trouble in that game against Vandalia.
It was always up by the 2-3 touchdowns, it seemed like, before half.
And they're going to get to the state quarterfinal, Carl, without trailing a single second. And they have not even been tied outside of 0-0.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Just silly.
But what a team. Well, I mean, you got a little of everything.
Fun to watch. They are loaded and looking for more next week against Williamsville. They will punt here. Rosentrader, high kick, but it's short. It will bounce inside the 40, and now Cronville will get on top of it. Joe Lewis, as it starts to roll back towards Cronville's end zone, he'll touch it down at the 36. Just 45 seconds left for the ball game, so we'll see if Paxton Buckley-Loto can get off one more snap, but they will have to hustle here. Stay tuned. Tito will have some post-game stuff for you coming up here on WSMI FM 106. Just a dominating performance from Cronville here today. Made the 2.5-hour trek up the interstate, got on 72, headed across on 57, and steamrolled Paxton Buckley-Loto. That'll be a fun charter bus ride back home.
Should be.
These are the fun days for a football team. You get to take a long charter bus ride, play a team you've never played before, and then you just put them right into the ground. And that will be the end of the ball game. PBL does not want to snap it again. Your final in the second round of the 3A playoffs. The Cronville Cavaliers beat Paxton Buckley-Loto 40-7, blanked them in the first half and put a running clock on them the entirety of the second half. It'll be Cronville hosting Williamsville next week in the 3A state quarterfinals, game we will have live here on WSMI FM 106. We'll take a break. We'll have the post-game show following these messages on WSMI. Terry Tote, thank you so much. As the Cronville Cavaliers have just wrapped up their midfield meeting here as they sprint off the field, 40-7 winners. And Carl, you heard Terry mention that St. Teresa hammering Athens, and you know, we mentioned last week with St. Teresa and Staunton that game had a similar feel to the Cronville-Wood River game, and St. Teresa responded just like Cronville responded today.
They did indeed. We weren't overly impressed. We knew they had quality running back, obviously, and a fairly good team, but they've shown that they can come and pick themselves up after having, I guess, probably a first half like Cronville did the week before, just not to their power.
And that's what you expect from the great teams, is to be able to respond after a subpar effort by their standards, and that's certainly what Cronville did here today. And just kind of the same old story in a lot of ways. The defense, sensational. Kyle Dixon, sensational.
Maybe even more shocking was how good the defense was, because we're talking two first downs in that first half, one's a penalty. Only one big 18-yard passing play, and that's it. And I don't think we ever seen them just three downs and out. A team so bad, is especially of quality of your PBL. I always call them just Paxton, but I know they're called PBL.
That's right.
And Panthers, and we hadn't mentioned it, but the third time Cavaliers get to beat a Panther team. Pena Panthers, Litchfield Panthers, and now the PBL Panthers.
In the first half, the tone was set early. Easterday won the toss, as he does, put his defense in the field first. Chase Michaels comes up with the interception, and then the Cronville offense able to complete a six-play, 38-yard drive after that interception. It was a three-yard touchdown run for Dixon, his only rushing touchdown out of his six. But it's a play call that we didn't see most of the year. We've seen it the last couple of weeks now where Jarrett goes under center and hands it off to Dixon.
Yeah, it's something they worked on, and Dixon actually had three carries for 11 yards. That first one was that three-yard touchdown, but then they ran it near the end the first half, and I think they're just working on it to make sure they can get a 1 to 2 yard gain on that particular power play, because they really didn't have that in their arsenal in a way because they hadn't tried it at all.
So Carmel now 11-0 on the year, and you heard Terry Tote mention he'll probably have a final for us here when we throw it back to him. But Greenville was leading at Pleasant Plains late in the ball game by a touchdown, and so that would put the Sangamo Conference at 6-5 over the South Central Conference since 2013. And now we're going to have another South Central Sangamo matchup next week for the second time in 3 years. Carthenville will host Williamsville in a playoff game. It was the second round 2 years ago. It'll be the state quarterfinals next week live here on FM 106. And just early thoughts on that, Carl. That is powerhouse explosive football on both sides.
It is. And, you know, I think we're looking at potential big, high scoring on both sides. That's what I'm thinking.
And with that in mind, let's throw it to Terry right now for a game break. All right.
26-14.
So Greenville leading 26-14. It looks like the Comets are going to do it. And when you think, hats off to Todd Hutchinson, you think, remember, week 9, Carmel beat Greenville 66-0.
Right. Of course, here's a playoff team in the second round, and we theoretically the score didn't matter because once they got to the 40 in the first half, they just called off the dogs, but they could have done the same to this Paxton team. This Carmel team, you think, would depress people. In a way, we think that's what happened to poor Vandalia, because they got ran into Carmel, and after that, they did not play as well.
That's exactly right. So it looks like the South Central Conference is going to put two teams into the state quarterfinals. We'll see if Greenville can close the deal. Carmel has sealed the deal as they beat Paxton Buckley Loader today 40-7. Of course, thanks to the folks here at Paxton Buckley Loader for their hospitality and a beautiful day for playoff football. The Cavaliers roll over PBL 40-7 for Carl DeBar. I am Tim Mines. That is going to wrap it up here from Paxton. We will take a break. On the other side, Terry Tote will continue the postgame show on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM 106.